Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Hello, and welcome to Success Is Podcast, where we explore the path to success. I'm your host, Phil Portman, and today I'm thrilled to be joined by Jeff Garner. Jeff is a fashion designer, visual artist, author, and filmmaker, best known for his sustainable label, Prophetic. His work is reshaping the fashion industry and changing how we perceive luxury. His designs have earned a permanent place in the Renwick Gallery at the Smithsonian. Today, we'll discuss Jeff's journey, his innovative approach to fashion, and how he's leading the charge in sustainability. Let's dive in. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hey, thanks, buddy. I like your voice. You got that radio voice.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. So what does success mean to you?
Yeah, I would say, you know, most people associate it with, you know, financial gain, right? I've always viewed it as a Tennessee country boy as doing what you love, but also having a purpose in life. So that's always been my motto. And so, yeah, so I've been there's no way I'd be in fashion if I didn't have that motto, because one, you don't really make a lot of money. And two, you know, they say no pain, no gain. It really, I mean, you're putting your heart out, you're diving soulfully every collection, you're creating, you're opening it up for, like, it's like having a baby. It could be like an ugly baby once you have it. Like, people can say negative things. Like, and especially in my world where I'm trying to go against the grain and try to, not against the fashion industry, but I'm simply trying to shift it into a more positive, healthy energy wise. So I'm getting a lot of backslack from that. So to me, it's fulfilling that purpose in your life and going against all odds and keeping your eye on the goal. So I've been doing it 22 years now. So I'd say over 10 years in fashion, you're lucky and you're crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So if people looking for that purpose, right, that figuring out what that purpose is, do you have any advice for how they figure out what that is, or how you figured out what your purpose was?
Yeah, you know, it's not a five-year plan. I think it's innately inside of you. And the biggest question is like, I studied in Florence City. It's like when Michelangelo took this beautiful marble that was sitting in the churchyard and no other artists would do anything with it because they're afraid of this black vein running down the marble. If you got anywhere close to that vein, the whole thing would just fall apart. And everyone's like, well, what are you going to make? He goes, no, I'm freeing what's inside of it. So I kind of look at it that way. Like, we're born with purpose, but we got to listen and kind of let that loose and free ourselves in order to do it, because we chain and shackle ourselves with, you know, commerce, for example. We follow this pattern of needing things and wanting to buy something and have it today. And so then we're caught up in the rat race of having to make certain amount of money to pay a certain amount of bills. And then, you know, we get caught in a health game. And, you know, so I've always been very frugal in my choices. So it allows me to kind of make certain decisions to follow my path versus a financial obligation or a have to kind of situation. And, you know, a lot of people get in the mindset like I'm stuck, and you're never stuck. That's a beauty of our design. We're free agents. We have free will to choose each and every day what we decide to do. But yeah, there's obviously circumstance to that, right? And that's where it kind of captures us per se, because we give up something good to get something better. Well, that's scary to give up that something good because we're so attached to it. And life is good. But if you really want that purpose, sometimes you have to let go of it. You have to be uncomfortable. I lived in a tent, you know, for like a year with nothing. And it was best time ever.
Absolutely. You know? That's incredible. So, yeah. Puts things into perspective, right? Really hones in on what's important in life when you strip everything away, I imagine.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. And it, like what you're talking about with the sculpture, you know, sometimes it's, if you're trying to fight against who you are or what you are,
then things aren't going to work out, right? It's really
Yeah.
understanding that. And I've seen situations where people are not authentic to themselves, and they spend so much energy and time and effort trying to be this thing that is clearly not them. And then they struggle. They say, why am I struggling in life? Why does everything feel like an uphill battle? And it's just like, man, if you would just accept who you are, what you're great at, what you maybe aren't so great at, maybe if you just accepted that, things would kind of line up a little bit easier for you.
I think so. I think we're in a society today. We're questioning like our character isn't deepened, so to speak. So like you have this constant, obviously, social media everyone talks about, but what that does to the psyche, what it does for fast fashion that drives you to buy the trends every day. You lose sight of like, oh, this is, a leather vest that I've been riding horses in for 10 years, and it was my grandfather's. So it gives me a sense of like belonging, a sense of attachment in a good grounding way. This is a shirt that I made myself, dyed with natural indigo, that I've been wearing for 12 years, and that kind of thing. So you would, you see me today for the first time wearing this, but my buddy saw me 3 weeks ago wearing this, riding horses. It's like, oh, there goes Jeff. There's this waistcoat. There's this leather waistcoat. So if we keep changing our look, following these trends, always following what other people do in social media, we're going to lose sight of self. And I think that's a big conundrum in today's society. And I think that's what's also bringing us away from our purpose, because we're not so grounded into ourselves.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. So, real quick, because I don't want to, I just want to address where you're at right now. So, in Malibu, and if you wouldn't mind for our audience, real quick, just kind of tell us what's going on there.
There you go. So that's clouds from, it's a mix of smoke, toxic fumes from all the burning, and we got a storm coming with some cumulus rain clouds. But yeah, so but you can breathe it, dioxin and some other off gases that are created when you burn paint and the drywall and things of that nature. So we've been dealing with this the last obviously few weeks. But yeah, so it's that again, fire and this whole, when you lose everything in a fire, it definitely puts things in perspective about attachment. This is my fifth one that I've been in, and luckily it didn't come up to where we were on this one, but it did in 2018, and I was lucky enough to be here and save it, because palm trees weren't ever, they weren't here. They were planted, and they're not a good for fires because they light up underneath them and they start shooting like fire rockets. And then if you're not here on the ground, you can't put out those fires on the ground until it consumes and then takes off, and then fire engines come and put it out after your house is caught. So it's a good thing to be on the ground and in some certain situations. But anyways, so it's really it's really hurt our community.
Yeah, and for anybody that doesn't really know what's going on out there, do you have any take on the perspective on what we should know in the rest of the world?
Well, I mean, it shows you the power of nature. Now, this one, they're still trying to figure out what created and caused it, but we've had wildfires here. What happens is we get these winds called Santa Anas coming from the desert. So the desert heats up, drives that warm air straight to the ocean, and our canyons, to get to where we are here in Malibu, are act like just like a chimney almost, and they just guide those winds in a very powerful 60 to 80 miles per hour, blowing straight to the ocean. So it sparked lights just like in a fire, in your fireplace, wind obviously, and that's what happened. It was just a super dry, hadn't rained, spark lit, and the winds were on, and they didn't let off, and so it created, a horrible situation. But it what was hard about this one is that it hit a very dense area, specific Palisades. It hit, thousands and thousands of homes, and it was just, and it in the past, it's hit usually more in the, kind of the parkland area, and comes up to the houses and burns houses up there. But this is a very concentrated city, basically. So that's why it's devastating. And it came all the way down to PCH, which is our main highway, a coastal highway, and burned houses on the beach. And that was shocking because everyone's like, never thought that the beach side would ever get, taken out, and it did. But yeah, so a lot of climate activists are saying it's because of drought and this and that. And I've been here 30 years, and it definitely has, things are shifting. We're having wild storms we've never had before. We're having more rain at sometimes, and then it's all off. The cycles are
More
all off.
extremes, right? Yeah.
Yeah, more extreme. So no one can really predict, and so you can't prepare. And areas are burning, never burned before, and but yes, but that's part of nature. The Kumash Indians, they always knew that this area burned, and then they would plant in that area because it would help with the local foliage and repair the ground, re-soil, and that kind of thing. And that's just a natural thing. But now we built homes in the way, and now we're so it's we're always going to have that conflict and contrast here. But yeah, such is life.
The cycle of life.
Yeah.
So let's jump back into prophetic. Known for your commitment to sustainability, can you share a little bit of what inspired you to integrate sustainability into your design?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually started that way, I guess, 22 years ago. I grew up in Tennessee, and I moved out here when I was 17. But I've always been in nature. Nature's been my hero, and I just believe in whatever you do in life, you make sure you don't hurt the environment which you love. It'd be like, polluting in your own house, right? You just don't want to do that. So, when I got into fashion and started making T-shirts for bands, my buddies were all in bands. I started doing their stage clothing, and I got into production, and I was like, wow, this stuff is gnarly. And the off-gassing from the plastisol inks and the shirts and then the dyes, I was like, oh, I cannot do this, nor do I want to put that on my buddy's body. So anyway, so that kind of created this idea that if I wanted to continue my path, my creative art form, I needed to figure out a different solution. And so that led me down this path of like, wow, nobody's talking about this. Nobody's looking at this, and they're just kind of accepting it because it's just in the marketplace. So that's what spearheaded this whole, journey. And it's been a journey because people, thought I was crazy, thought I was a hippie, whatever. And now they're just recently starting to listen, and you'll probably see more and more stuff this year, influencers and people talking about it. They'll talk about the surface level stuff, but it does affect your health, what you wear in your body. As we're designed to be nude and naked, and so we're never designed to have anything covering that skin. So we've done studies, and your skin absorbs 37% of whatever you put on it. So you can think about nicotine patches, hormone patches, things like that. So when these synthetic dyes have formaldehyde in it and other heavy metals, et cetera, then that's going to go into your body and create a negative impact. And that's the thing that we need to pay attention to, and analyze more and do more research, et cetera. So anyway, so that's been the journey. Sure.
And I know there's been studies that have been done. My wife was actually talking about this today on how your skin is a major factor in your overall health. Age-related diseases, Parkinson's, type 2 diabetes, all of these things are coming from interactions with our skins, things that we put on our skin, and stuff that we're putting on our skin all day, every day is our clothes.
Right.
So it's incredibly fascinating that nobody else has really looked at this approach and said, "Hey, what kind of chemicals are we treating these things with? What kind of chemicals and dyes are we putting into this that you're putting on
Right.
your skin over the largest organ on your body that all day, every day?" And it's fascinating that more people haven't really dove into this while still being concerned about the things they're consuming and other areas, but never once think about the clothing aspect of it. So
Yeah.
that's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's shocking. And here you're here, we're having this conversation today, but I've been talking about it for 22 years. And like that's like how like nobody wants to talk about, at least the industry, the chemical industry, the textile industry. They just don't want to talk about it because they don't have solutions yet. And, it's just been put asunder. So that's why I did this documentary, Let There Be Naked, because that's the only catalyst to really create change and get the awareness out there, because it lives beyond us, right? So, you could go, you and I can talk about it, and your listeners today, but that film could reach, millions of people. And every time I do a catwalk show or, have a press campaign, it's, 600,000 people. But yeah, it's weird that people don't associate the two, but I think that's it. It's a disconnect between it going through your skin, your epidermis. I think that hasn't been spoken about. That's why I was very adamant with the research, and we did our own study. And yeah, that's the doc shows that though. So it's not just people talking like, hey, you got to worry about that. And, because we're getting all these like warning labels now. It's like, oh, well, that will cause cancer. Oh, eating that will cause cancer. Oh, that, so it's like overwhelming. So I kind of did it in a really fun but adventurous and discovery way to be like, so once you kind of see it, all my friends are like, you run me. I can't go back now. And then go home and clean out the wardrobe. I'm sorry, but that's actually what I wanted to do. Like, so anyways, so yeah, it is kind of scary that it hasn't been regulated or spoken about.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the success that you've seen, but how do you measure success beyond the tangible? Like, what does fulfillment look like to you?
That's a tough one. I mean, that's a tough one. So fulfillment for me, personally, I don't think I'd ever be fulfilled, because I'm just like running and gunning, and I have a
You
lot
got a
more to
lot
do in
going
life.
on. You're running a million miles a minute, it seems.
And everyone knows that about me. And I just been asked to do this event in Malibu to raise funding for the victims and our local fire brigade, and we're bringing on bands and all this stuff, and literally I put it together in 2 days. Like, I don't believe, I think the day we relax and say, okay, we're fulfilled, is the day we kind of just I wouldn't say retire, but that's that you lose purpose. And I don't want to, in my mind, I always have a purpose, so I'm just always running and gunning. So that's a good question. Is it healthy? I don't know, but I do believe I do a lot in this world, and I that is for the good. And I think that's the impactful piece of the puzzle, is that without purpose, I think we lose sight. We get stuck into a dead end where we're like climbing a ladder, and we put our ladder in the wrong place, let's say. And that's hard to say it's wrong, but you put it on this building of making money because you want to buy this house or buy this car. You put on this because you want to find this perfect partner. And I think we get to the top of that ladder, and we look around and get on the roof, and we're looking around like, oh wow, it's the same as that over there, the same as that over there. And it doesn't fulfill us. And then we run to something else, or then we get addicted to something, whether it's, a drug or an alcohol or a person or having things. So I think the key in life is to lead with unattachment, not detachment. That's completely different. Unattachment means you still care, but you don't let things decide for you, meaning that if I don't have a coffee today, it doesn't mean I'm going to be, like an ogre to you. It means I can still be a happy-go-lucky, great guy, but, I prefer to have a coffee because I like jump-starting my mind, so I work late at night or into the morning hours, but I don't have to have it. And I think that is the mindset in life that we need to walk through. And then opportunities will come to you, and then you'll be introduced to a purpose, and it doesn't have to be life's purpose, but it's that purpose for that moment. And I think that's another thing we get trapped, is like needing to have this long life purpose, which is, it could be segments.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Something I just have to ask you though, how do you handle burnout? Do you experience that at all? And you have so many different roles and projects and stuff like that going on. Is that something that happens, and how do you handle it?
So should I tell you I'm leaving Sunday for New York Fashion Week, showing a collection, doing a film, and then going to six countries in 11 days and doing more?
I'm
Like,
telling you, man, you got a lot going on, and you've been doing it for a long time, so.
that's it. I've been running a long time, and I think I've learned the art of staying grounded and simple things. I do meditation every day. I'm always on the land. I went surfing this morning. We got some good waves right now. I take care of my body. I eat kind of a mono diet of acai, granola. I just really keep it pure. And I think just having that groundedness and, do push-ups, sit-ups every night just before I go to bed, and little things like that help with the stress, because you need to. It's like a horse. Like, a horse will get bottled up and stressed out, and then it'll go up on you, or a buck. And if you move that energy forward, it just rides it out. Might throw its head, but then it just works it out. So you've got to move that energy forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. I think, the things we put into our body, the things we put into our mind, how we treat our body and our mind and all of those things greatly affect how we perceive and how we handle the world around us. And that's incredible. And a testament to all the things that you have going on and still able to manage it with such an excitement and vigor every single day is incredible. So, I want to talk about in general facing uncertainty.
Okay.
So, this is something that we encounter a lot and making critical decisions in business. You're encountered with a lot of different decisions on a daily basis. Can you kind of just describe to our audience how you face uncertainty?
I think my grandpa trained me, and I love knowing this now, but he always made me do one thing every day that I was uncomfortable with. So whether he threw me on a horse that was kind of green with no saddle, or whether he tied my hands behind my back and made me get on that horse and jump it, or make something I never made before. Like, so I've kind of carried that through. And so I try to do one thing. Like, for example, the water this morning is freezing cold, and put on a wet wetsuit. Like, most people be like, that's uncomfortable. Oh, waves are big, I'm not going to get out there. I'm like, no, I'm going to at least go for one, see what happens. And so that mentality, so when business stuff comes my way and it's uncertain, it doesn't really faze me. So I've trained myself to like accept the emotion of it. And I think that's it. It's an emotional response to these uncertainties that get us and or make us make rash decisions. And I think if you train yourself, just like with firemen or law enforcement or military, like to be in these stressful situations, like you can train yourself to not have that emotional reaction, and I think that's key, you know.
Yeah, something else I'd add to that is the science shows that if you find yourself thinking life is moving too fast, like all of a sudden years go by just in the blink of an eye, it's because you're lacking those moments. You think about what we had when we were a child and we had these new and exciting and adventurous, right? Well, those created anchors for our memory to hold on to, which helped slow down time when you look back on them. By you continuing to do that, by continuing to not get comfortable, you're helping make sure that your time stays slow because you have relevant memories. You think about an example, if you went to the same job every day, driving the same route every single day, doing the same thing every single day, your brain just maps that into one thing and it flies by. By putting new and exciting adventures in there, you're really creating staples for your memory to create onto. And I talk all the time to people that are looking for ways, and they say, "Man, time's going by so quick. How can I slow it down?" It's that right there. Get into the uncomfortable every single day.
Yeah,
So,
I like
great.
that.
Well, so for our listeners that want to learn more about your work and follow your journey, where can they find you online?
Yeah, so company name prophetic.com, that's the brand. And then our film is called Let Them Be Naked, and that's my Tennessee slang, but naked is it's better to be nude than dressed in synthetics, I say. So that's the title of the book and title of the film. And so there's a website that has kind of all of the update information, but we'll be releasing it hopefully on Mother's Day on Amazon. So that's the plan. So, yeah.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. And thank you so much for your time today, Jeff. We really
Thanks.
appreciate it. It's been an incredible conversation. Your insight into leadership, creativity, and the impact of sustainability on the fashion industry, truly inspiring.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate it. thanks for helping spread the message, and yeah, good luck with the rest of your podcast.
Absolutely. And thank you to our audience for tuning in to another episode of Success Is. Remember, success isn't just a destination, it's a journey. Keep pushing forward, stay true to your vision, and define success on your own terms. Until next time, thank you for listening.